714, hot and humid, maybe for the 4th of July weekend. Not looking so good for the Florida coast, that Emerald Coast all along looking like it might be kind of rainy and wet. I don't think tropical, but just rainy and wet, not so nice. But we'll keep you apprised of everything you need to know. Jeremy Alford joins us now, editor-publisher of La Politics Weekly. How you doing, Jeremy?
Hey, Tommy. Good morning.
You doing any 4th of July traveling or not?
No, we're gonna stick to home and keep it kind of quiet.
Yeah, that's what I do, too. I don't like the crowd, so I do my 4th of July traveling in October.
It's a good time for it.
It is. It is a good time for it because less people, of course, then it throws the whole thing over. I got to do my October traveling at a different time. Let's talk about the session before we get into some other things. Your thoughts on the recently concluded session and who won, who lost?
Seems like we all lost a little bit, Tommy, on that deal. Mm-hmm. We're kind of still waiting on major insurance reforms, but a budget was passed. At the last minute, the governor kind of threatened a special session to address a pharmacy benefit manager issue involving most notably CVS. And, since then, there's been some judgments and from the courts, and Jeff Landry was very happy about that. Donald Trump Jr. was very happy about that. So we're waiting to see if he's going to call that special session or not. It kind of ended with a whimper. There were no major tax proposals. It was kind of a strange session.
So let me ask you this for a second. When it comes to The Mylar balloon thing, and this is not going to affect anybody's life really or anything else. It's just the politics of it kind of raised my eyebrows because, as you well know, Jeremy, in Louisiana law, it amazed me how many legislators throughout the process told us, well, the governor has to sign it. And it's like, well, no, the governor doesn't have to sign it in Louisiana. He just has to actively veto it for it not to become a law. Do you know why he would veto that Mylar balloon bill? What is there a story behind that or not?
I mean, I certainly don't want to float any speculation on the balloon issue. Mm-hmm. We'd have to ask the governor that.
Okay. Did it seem odd to you?
Frankly, it's not one of the bills that I'm tracking. But
no, I was just wondering that he would proactively veto it. That's all I'm saying. I just don't understand.
Maybe the balloon industry has some folks on the payroll in Louisiana. I don't know.
Big Mylar. Never underestimate Big Mylar. Let's talk about this primary system that we're looking at now. How's that going to change things for the senatorial race, the U.S. Senate race?
Well, it's going to change things not only for the candidates, but also for voters. And Bill Cassidy, the incumbent in that U.S. Senate race, said himself that he thinks a lot of folks are probably going to show up to vote and not realize that we are returning to a closed primary system. And mm-hmm. on April 18th, what that means is if you're a Democrat, you're going to vote in the Democratic primary. If you're a Republican, you'll vote in the Republican primary. If you're an independent, you can choose which one you want. But it's going to be a very different style of voting. We went back to it briefly in 2008, Tommy, and voters were so confused that lawmakers ended up kind of reversing course almost immediately after that experiment. But we're in a different environment now, and it's a Republican-led state, and Republicans are really excited about this primary. But for Bill Cassidy, it means for the first time he's going to have to go in an election and fight for his incumbency based on only Republican votes. And we're starting to see kind of a crowded field there. And, when you're carving up that much of the vote amongst so many strong candidates, little things really start to matter, like messaging and tone and maybe even those independent votes.
So the difference is with an open primary, that would be what they call a jungle primary, and then it's like, mm-hmm. who? Correct? Stop me if I hurt myself. I don't do anything wrong.
No, that's correct. And, that's always been our system, the jungle primary system, where everybody goes on one ballot and the two top vote getters make it to the runoff as needed. Now we're going to be selecting a Republican and a Democratic candidate to go on that ballot. That primary vote is going to be April 18th. The regular kind of primary ballot for those congressional seats and for the Senate is going to be on November 3rd.
So how does that change your calculus for the Republican candidates that are challenging Bill Cassidy? Does it?
You know, in the past, we've seen Republicans maybe move a little closer to the center in order to kind of court Democratic votes. There's been a handful of Republicans who have been able to kind of do that successfully statewide. Billy Nungesser, our lieutenant governor, comes to mind. But in this primary, you're going to have Republican versus Republican and Democrat versus Democrat. Of course, the big actions on the Republican side were Bill Cassidy is the incumbent in that race already. State Senator Blake Miguez from New Iberia has announced. The state treasurer, John Fleming, has announced. And kind of the wild card, Tommy, is Congresswoman Julia Letlow. Mm-hmm. She's reportedly being courted by Jeff Landry and Donald Trump. And look, if there's one huge factor in this race, it's the guy who's not on the ballot, and that's Donald Trump. If he wants to come and get involved in this race, he's going to have a lot of sway.
Mm-hmm. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. And along those lines, before we do take the break, Jeremy, Bill Cassidy is trying to, it seems like, trying to put himself back in the good graces, but I don't think that can happen with Donald Trump, can it?
He gets a shot today. It looks like the Senate's going to vote on the big, beautiful bill today. Yeah. And Bill Cassidy has kind of been quiet in terms of what he's going to do, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him staying with Donald Trump on that.
Okay, but if he does, I still don't know that that's going to help him. You know what I mean?
I don't know either.
Expediency, what I'm saying? I need you now. What have you done for me lately? I need you now, but my memory is long. We'll see what happens. 7:20 more. We come back. Traffic now, WWL. 7:25 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly. You can follow him on Twitter at LA Politics Now, and we're talking about the closed primary and the Senate race. Somebody texted in, Jeremy, this is an interesting question about could this force the Democrats to get their act together and surface some candidates who have a chance of being elected who otherwise would not have run because they would not have finished in the top two if it was an open primary. Thoughts?
Well, you know, if the party ever needed motivation, this would certainly be it. In concert with the last few years, you know, the most interesting name to pop up, Tommy, is John Bel Edwards, who was our last governor. Mm-hmm. And kind of the last Democrat to win a big statewide office in a splashy way. And, you know, I saw him just a week ago, and right now he's not saying no, but I'd be very surprised to see him jump in this race.
You would be surprised to see him jump in the race?
Yeah, I would. Okay. I think at the end of the day, Governor Edwards probably won't be too attracted to D.C. politics, and he's got a good job right now working for a law firm in New Orleans, and he seems to be enjoying not being in elected life, so we have to wait and see what his final decision is.
Let's talk about Royce Duplessis. I know, you know, you can't talk to the mayor's race or anything, but what's his reputation in Baton Rouge, record as a legislator? How do his colleagues view him?
Yeah, that was a big announcement this weekend, right? First, we had a maybe yes from Royce Duplessis, then a concrete no, and then we learned that the no is not so concrete, and it looks like he's about to announce for mayor tomorrow. He is known as most certainly a voice on criminal justice reform issues. He's the kind of guy who will bring a bill every year just to have it debated, knowing that it probably won't pass. But he's also more recently kind of developed somewhat of a pragmatic profile at the Capitol, kind of opened himself up to working a little more closely with Jeff Landry as governor than maybe other than he has with other Republicans in the past. And that Tommy brings up a really interesting question in this race. And in that, you know, if that relationship, policy relationship is as strong with Governor Landry as it seems to be, how will that reflect on this race? Will Jeff Landry get involved either directly or indirectly? New Orleans is obviously, I don't know what we call it, a sore spot, Tommy, or a talking point for Jeff Landry. So he is, one way or the other, he's certainly interested in this race.
How is he viewed in Orleans Parish? Have we ever seen any polling numbers on that about the governor?
About Jeff Landry?
Yeah.
You know, I would say that's probably the toughest area of the state for him is New Orleans proper. I mean, you don't have to be a political scientist to know that far-right Republicans are going to have a tough time there. And plus, you know, he has kept New Orleans in the crosshairs, whether it's through actions with state police, his criticisms of the mayor, or the crime issue.
So I guess my question is, would Royce DuPlessis' relationship with the governor hurt him, or not necessarily in Orleans Parish?
You know, I would imagine that if the governor wants to get involved in this race, and if the governor wants to support a Democrat directly or indirectly, it's going to be done pretty quietly. I think that the governor knows that his chosen candidate would probably do better with the executive branch staying quiet.
Gotcha. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate your time as always. Jeremy Alford, editor-publisher of La Politics Weekly. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk to council member Joe Geruso about the city council's travel ban that got knocked down as it relates to LaToya Cantrell, latest on the Wisner Trust, and more. And also, I'm going to follow up on something as it relates to Senator Bill Cassidy that I brought up and was told that, you know, he was going to write a letter about, and it seemed like people were saying this and that and the other thing about Biden and executive orders, but President Trump's been issuing a lot of executive orders, but not as it relates to this. I'll tell you when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News.